Father, we thank you for your mighty word. It is a reminder of who you are. And so today, Lord, as we come to just share a few thoughts again about the importance of being thankful, Lord, just teach us not only that we should, but why. And Lord, just use your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I know we're coming into the Christmas season, and some might have thought I might have a Christmas message. Who knows? I may not have one till the 23rd, but it's all God's Word. And yes, we are in the Christmas season, but this is a very important season to be thankful. And so I don't know why I'm talking about Thanksgiving today, but you know, we have a tendency, okay, that one's passed now. Now we can look forward to this other thing. And it isn't that we aren't thankful in general, but we probably indeed aren't quite as intentional in our Thanksgiving at some other times as we are at the formal Thanksgiving time. However any of that may be, anything that leads us to greater thankfulness can only be a good thing, because it will bring more honor and glory to God. It will bring greater joy and peace, and yes, even happiness to our own hearts. Because if you've lived as long as I have, maybe you've discovered that happiness is not the product of things being perfect or ideal, but happiness and joy are something that are on the inside that the Lord places there. And if your happiness or your joy are dependent on outer things or outer circumstances, you're totally misplaced and need to examine your heart to see if there may be a little idolatry there. Because when our heart is single-heartedly toward the Lord, there is absolutely nothing that we have or don't have, or that happens to us or that does not happen to us, that can affect our joy or our happiness, even the level or even the intensity of it. As humans, do we sense loss in certain moments? Of course we do. But how many have known somebody that's become hard or bitter or cynical? How many have known somebody that's become all eaten up with self-pity? Or could that be you or me on occasion? How many? Or people that just take for granted, you know. And could that be you and me on occasion as well? Just take for granted things. And so I just think it's important that we remember to continue to give thanks in all things and at all times, because in thanksgiving, we are offering praise to God and we're offering recognition to Him. We're giving Him the recognition that He deserves. So today, if you're one of those who likes to fill these out and have something to look at later, now would be the time to get that. There's certainly nothing complicated here, and there's probably nothing new, but we're going to go through it. Number one, everything has its origin in God. He made everything, and He owns everything. Why is that important? Because it shows us the source of everything. And that is why James wrote, "Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from where? Is from above." It came from somewhere. It didn't just happen, and it wasn't luck. Coming down, intentionally sent, and may I add to a Christian, through the channel of grace. How many of you know that the channel of grace never gets clogged? Because it's grace. Nothing can clog it. Sometimes we get into this, oh, I don't deserve none of this, none of that. Are you God's child? Have you received His grace?
Yes.
Is there anything you received that wasn't by grace? And if not, then if He gave it another way, then is grace really grace? Grace, the avenue of grace. Oh, are there consequences to my decisions and actions? Yes. But God's channel of grace is always open. And it's always unclogged. You don't have to call Brown. Some of you know what I mean. But he made everything. And everything originates in him. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Number two, everything that exists is an expression not only of God's power and creative genius, but also of his goodness, generosity, and provision. How many remember how grateful Gracia Burnham was when she was here? Did you notice that? Did you notice that this lady lives in a constant state of thanksgiving and that she thanks everyone that does the least kindness for her? Things that we expect, things that we take for granted here, right here in this church, every single Sunday morning. And I noticed that the smallest thing that anybody did for her, she made it a point to literally thank them. Do you think she's always been that way? Probably to some degree. But do you think that those experiences that she and Martin went through for over 12 months in that place, and whereas she described herself to us how God broke her down and broke down all of that, you know, I expect stuff and all of the protections and all of that, stripped her back to the point that she realized that even the smallest little favor that was done to her in a day's time was a gift straight from heaven. And that's where we've got to be if we're going to maintain a thankful heart. Because the world is full of some suffering and it is full of some things and all of that. And we can start getting focused on those things and we can begin to lose perspective. But let me ask you something. Was God good yesterday? Yes. Is he good today? Yes. And will he still be good tomorrow? Then our part is to thank him today and to continue to thank him tomorrow. As long as he's God and as long as he's good, we've got to keep giving him thanks. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We've got to thank him and not just feel it, say it. You all know that. You know the story I tell of the farmer, and his wife says, "John, you never tell me you love me anymore." He said, "Woman, I told you 50 years ago I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll tell you." We gotta say it. And we're not timid about expressing a lot of other things. So it's not only everything. He made it all. He owns it all. It all originated. Except for him, none of the rest of it would exist. Not the tiniest molecule in the most far-flung place of the outer universe exists other than by him. Number three, every good gift is a blessing from God. Again, it's not just an accident, and it's not luck. Every good gift is a blessing from God. So a thankful heart is our only reasonable response. Listen in this reading there in John 1 that we read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, who is that talking about? Who is that talking? Who's the Word?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. The one who became incarnate and that we celebrate his human birth at Christmas time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, through the Word, all things were made. Listen to this. Without him, nothing was made that had been made. So let me give you a little scenario. I don't know. It could be anything. It could be anything. Any one of you here in the congregation. But let's just take a name. John has a little gift. And he takes it over to his friend Bill. Whatever. Now God made John and God made Bill. He gave them their lives. So there's your first Thanksgiving right there. He gave them the ability to breathe. He gave them the ability to think. He gave them the ability to make choices. He gave them the ability to do things with their hands. He gave them a will. He gave them all these things. And John appreciates Bill and wants to do something nice for him. So he goes down to the store and he buys him a gift, something that he knows he'll like. I don't know, a Pittsburgh Steelers jacket or something. Something. A Dolphin jacket. A Redskins jacket. And he buys it with money, either coins or a credit card or something, but somewhere there's some money. Who made the paper the money's printed on? Who made the materials that the ink's made from? All of it. And he goes, and so the jacket's there, and somebody made it. And God made them, and God made the materials that they used for making the jacket, and he also made all of the compounds or whatever else that those materials were made from. And so John, who has been made by the Lord, purchases a gift that is made of things that the Lord made and gives it to Bill, who the Lord also made, and it all belongs to the Lord. So is there a place for thanksgiving here? Because we have to realize the origin. Now, a lot of times we say, I'm thankful. You know, and there's levels of this stuff, and it's good, and we grow and we develop. And when we're little, I love my mommy and my daddy, and we should, and I'm thankful for my mommy and my daddy. And I'm thankful for my dog, and I'm thankful for my baby dog. And then when we get a little older, and I'm thankful, again, we always pick on it, but I'm thankful for my 52-inch color LCD TV with all the latest stuff on it. And I'm thankful for that pretty car sitting out there in that driveway. And I'm thankful. And we're thankful, but we're focusing on the thing instead of the giver. What is all that? The scripture says that the first step in the decline of nations in Romans 1, and you can read, and we're getting into the last phases of Romans 1 here in America and around the world, but it all starts with not acknowledging God and not thanking God. And I'm not so sure that it has to do with observing a Thanksgiving Day or being outwardly thankful. I think it has more to do with that true, 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 true thankfulness. How many of you ever, your mom and your dad said, you need to tell them you're sorry, and you weren't really sorry, but they were going to tell you to say the words, I'm sorry. Now, I suppose they're teaching us something, but is it of much value if you say the words and you're not feeling it? And is it much, you know, thank you, Lord? Well, are we really? We're thankful today, and then tomorrow we're saying, now, Lord, I prayed for that, and you didn't give me that. So, Lord, do you still love me, or what is this? And you let so-and-so have it, and you didn't give it to me. So, Lord, are you fair? But he gives us, how many have ever heard it said, he gives us what we need, he doesn't give us everything we want. Amen. And some of us are convinced, almost given up, and we think it's never going to happen. Don't be so sure. Just because it hasn't happened up till now doesn't mean the Lord may still not do it. He may or he may not. But can you remain equally thankful in either event? Number four. The evil that is in this world is the consequence of sin. And sin is rebellion against God. And I want you to just remember that. You say, how could a loving God allow all this? He didn't do it. How many remember the story of Job? Did God take anything from Job? God didn't take anything from Job. Now, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be his name. But read that story. God never took anything from Job. Think about that story a little deeper. Who took everything from Job? He did it with God's permission, but who took everything from Job?
The devil.
It was the devil. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have what?
Life.
Life, and have it to the full." So if you've got that pain, that ache, that this, that, the relational problem, this and that, that is all from sin. That is not something. Now the Lord allows it, and He'll work in the bad and all of that, and He'll take the bad and turn it into good and all the rest. But that doesn't mean we don't hurt when we're going through stuff. How many can agree with that? But just remember, that isn't the Lord. He's allowing it, but it isn't the Lord doing it. The Lord doesn't, He's not the author of evil. He can't do evil. He's not the author of evil, and He's not the author of the consequences of evil. And the current curse that even nature is under came because of sin. But it did not come, you know, willingly. It came as a consequence of man's own disobedience and rebellion against God. Now, don't get the wrong idea here. I'm not trying to introduce the thought like some who live in fear all the time. No, we're under grace. I'm just, you know, and if I do the least little thing, the Lord's going to whack me. That's not what, no. He sent Jesus to take care of all that. He sent Jesus to be my Savior. He sent Jesus to forgive me my sins. He sent Jesus to give me eternal life. He sent Jesus to live and dwell in me. And He opened that channel of grace that we talked about a while ago. And the Lord has done all of that. But there is evil in the world. There is sin in the world. There is rebellion in the world. And as long as there is going to be loss. And there is going to be suffering. But just remember, it isn't the Lord doing it. And remember, furthermore, that the Lord is able to keep you in the midst of it and bring glory to Himself.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
We just started the book of Philippians this morning in my Sunday school class. Paul is writing from the jail in Rome. His conditions are less than ideal. He's writing to the Philippians. The introduction in my NIV Bible says, joy is one of the major themes of this book. And he uses it a total of 14 times in just 4 chapters. And you read that, and he's not moaning, and he's not groaning, and he's not complaining, and he's not saying, why me? And he's not even saying, because I'm in jail, people aren't hearing the gospel. He's saying just the opposite. He's saying, brothers, I want you to realize that since I've been in jail, others have been emboldened to preach harder than ever before. And even though I'm bound, the gospel isn't bound. And I thank God and thank you for the gift you sent. And thank you because you've been there for me since day one. I said, Paul, thank God for blessings and people, not things. And so, just remember that because the devil will poison your mind. He'll try to get you to think somehow that God's against you or that, no, he ain't against me. Read Romans 8 again. If God be for us, is he for us? If you read the rest of that chapter 8, you have to say that's the whole point of that chapter. He absolutely is for us. My dad, I don't know where he learned that saying. He learned it from others before him. He says this is the way it is. God votes for you, the devil votes against you, and you cast the deciding vote. And through faith and through obedience and through thanksgiving and through walking with the Lord, that's when we're casting that deciding vote. And yes, and we've said it before, but a lot of the stuff we suffer and go through and moan and groan about so much, it's just because of decisions we've made. But it wasn't the Lord that did it. Number 5, though we live in a sinful world, an imperfect world, God's faithfulness and goodness continue to express themselves even in our suffering and pain. I I deal with a lot of that, obviously, as a minister. A lot of people that are suffering, a lot of people that are in pain because of a number of things. And yet in every one of these situations, if these people love the Lord and they're walking with the Lord and they're still in the Word and if they're thankful and they're still doing the things they're supposed to be doing in the Lord, walking with Him and growing in the middle, right in the middle of all of that, you can see God working and you can see God's blessing and you can see the things to be thankful for. And as he said to Paul, my grace is what?
Sufficient
for you. Therefore, we should remain thankful regardless of our outer circumstances. And I refer you to Romans 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren, and so forth. And He goes on down. What shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God shown to us through Christ, not only in salvation, but through all those daily kindnesses and through the grace that He gives in our most difficult hours. Number 6, a healthy life in the Lord is possible only through a continual attitude of thanksgiving and praise. One of the closest things I know to a shortcut to having a really healthy life in the Lord. So today is the beginning. It's the first Sunday in Advent. Today is the beginning of whatever you want to call it, the run up to Christmas or whatever you want to call it. There's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of stuff. There's going to be some people frustrated. Who knows? There might even be somebody frustrated because they can't get those lights just right. You think that ever happens? Or because that paper tore when I was trying to wrap that gift. Or LifeWay was out of the special card I wanted. Who knows? But folks, let's remain thankful. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord is good, what?
All the time.
And all the time the Lord is good. And His mercies endure forever. Our part is to be what?
Thankful.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your mercies. How many times have you not given us what we deserve, but rather through your love and through your channel of grace, you gave us what you desired to give us by grace. So, Lord, today we come with thankful hearts. We come to thank you for the things that you have done. Many here expressed some of those very things last week. But Lord, I want to see this become, as someone shared, Becky shared the other day, she said, one of my goals is to post a little something every single day of the year that I'm thankful for. And Lord, that we would just have that kind of an attitude. And even in the dark hours, that we wouldn't get so blind, that we wouldn't get so cynical, that we wouldn't get that tunnel vision to the point that we can't see that even in those situations, you are working. And you are working things that please you because you're concerned not about our full and total comfort in any given moment, but you're concerned about the final product. And as we read today, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so, let us be thankful every day. Let us express our thanks. I think of those people in the Bible who thanked you publicly. They just stood where they were, and they closed their eyes, and Jesus was one of them. And he said, I thank you, Father, that you have revealed this, hidden it from the wise, and revealed it to the babes. And Eliezer over there by the well when Rebecca showed up. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. And he bows with his face to the ground right there in front of everybody to thank you. May we be that way, Lord. May we acknowledge that all good things come from you. Now, Lord, as we come to this time of fellowship together, bless our time of fellowship together, for we truly are bound together in the love of Jesus Christ and in the communion of the Holy Spirit and in what we share in Christ Jesus. Through his blood, through his broken body, we have been sealed as your sons and your daughters, and we've been given access to you forever. And we thank you for that as well. Lord, we praise you. We honor your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.